Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people, people who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 393. I'm really not sure what I'm going to call it. But Rachel's going to decide that. Okay. This is a strategy session that I did. We're going to talk about, you know, kids' toys, house decorations. Like, house decor can kind of be a thing that trips you up because it's, you know, it has a lot of emotional attachment, but then it also kind of, you know, goes in and out, right? Dealing with kids and their food clutter and all that. So these are things that we're going to talk about. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation that we have. Don't forget, if you would like to apply to do one of these sessions, I let my Patreon people, my kindred spirits, apply. So we're going to talk about that at the end, what she likes about being a kindred spirit. But if you want to join us over there, go to patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. All right, here we go. Here's the session. So Kate, you are here on the podcast and I really appreciate you being willing to share with everybody the progress that you've made and the things that you're dealing with. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your unique life situation.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I live on acreage in a house with my husband and two daughters who are 6 and 8 years old. My 8-year-old is autistic. And we also have animals. We have 3 large dogs that live indoors, which is relevant later.
Yeah.
We have a lot of we have a lot of chickens. We have 2 horses and 4 dairy goats. My husband and I have our own business that he primarily works from a workshop on the property. And so we essentially work from home. And we also have a racetrack for radio controlled toy cars on your property.
Is that something like other people come in to do on the property?
Yes, we have racing every week, sometimes twice a week, and it's our second business essentially.
How cool is that? So do you actually drink goat milk regularly?
No, that was the fantasy, absolutely. But
sorry if I laughed too loud into the microphone. That resonated with me really well. Go ahead.
Well, we imagined that it would be awesome to drink our own goat milk, but when it came down to it, nobody likes it. Even though I will say our goat milk tastes almost just like cow milk. It's not very goaty. It's not strong smelling or anything.
But you still don't like it.
It's that little bit off. Yeah. So I use it for cheese, or I actually feed it to the other animals. Only one of our goats is in milk right now, so there's not a lot of milk to deal with. But yeah, a lot of things we do around here, like the fantasy and the reality, are a little bit different.
Well, and it's almost like you have the opportunity for a lot of the fantasy because of your where you're living and, you know, all of that. It's like, oh, we could do this. We could do that. We could do this. And some of it gets done and some of it. Yeah. I relate to that a lot. So, okay. Goat milk question. Is goat milk something that a lot of people who, and tell me if I'm wrong, who are not able to drink cow's milk can sometimes drink goat milk? Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
I think it has, I'm not sure about this, but I think it has less lactose, which is the part that's hard to digest.
Okay. So, not that we're giving any advice for anyone who's, I don't know.
no advice given whatsoever.
I was just curious because I know my mom stays away from dairy, but we were like, could you do goat cheese? But anyway.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Okay, so let's talk about what is working well for you.
One thing that has made a huge difference is taking advantage of awkward pauses.
Yes.
And doing things right away. It took me a long time to decide to try that because I would have so many things piled up that even though each individual thing only took 30 seconds or a minute, that was like 20 minutes worth of work and I didn't have 20 minutes.
That is such a good point right there. That's such a good point of lots of little things add up to a huge daunting thing list. That's good. Anyway, keep going.
So for a while I was actually setting aside like a half an hour block to do just little, like we call them mosquito tasks, mm-hmm. things that are, that ought to be super quick and probably are, but just are hanging around. And after a while I started to feel like there wasn't a big pile anymore. So I started to do those things like while I'm cooking dinner, instead of standing there and watching the onions saute, I would like step away for just a moment and take something back to where it belongs somewhere else in the house mm-hmm. at that instant, right? Because I knew that would really only take me about 45 seconds and nothing was going to happen to the onions in the meantime.
Yeah.
And so the more I've been able to do that, the more of a habit it becomes.
So do you notice awkward pauses more often because you've used them well?
I don't think it's so much of noticing the awkward pause is that it just becomes habitual that I don't just stand there in the kitchen, I guess. One thing that I have noticed that's very strange is that I will be in the kitchen. It will be what you might call an awkward pause. And I'll think, oh, I need to take those earrings back to the bathroom where I keep my jewelry. And I'll be like, oh, no, I did that last night.
Really?
Let's see if there's something else around here that needs to be done.
That's so interesting. So do you feel like it has helped your perception of how long tasks will take to do this consistently and get little things done little by little? I mean, did you ever have issues like with what we call TPAD as far as not knowing how long something is going to take? Has that increased that awareness, do you think?
It has. And yes, I used to have very unrealistic ideas about how long a short task was really going to take. Like emptying the dishwasher, I think mm-hmm. is a pretty common experience. It really only takes like 3.5 or 4 minutes in my household.
Who knew, right?
I know. And I thought it took like 15 or 20. So I never had time to do it, right?
Right, exactly. That's great.
So yes, it turns out that a lot of these short tasks are super, super short to do. And The more I do them, at the moment I think of them, the easier it is to remember that when I have that instinct that's like, oh, this is going to take a while. I don't have time now.
Yes.
I can counteract that by saying, actually, it only takes a minute and a half. I do have time.
Right. And I think that's one of those things, you know, and I hear from people all the time about this kind of stuff. And sometimes people will say, yeah, I follow if it's only going to take me 1 minute, I might as well go ahead and do it now. And I'm like, that is excellent. But then there are a lot of us who don't have a perception of what a minute is. And so even though something might take a minute or less, we don't identify it as that because we have, you know, time passage awareness disorder or whatever it's really called, you know, but, yes. But yeah, I think that that's key. It's like you have started to, this has become a way for you to combat that because of the experience of starting to really learn. Can you remember in the beginning, was it hard for you to do a task that you weren't for sure how long it was going to take? Like, how hard was it in the beginning when you really started saying, I'm going to take advantage of these awkward pauses?
I actually had to talk out loud to myself. It was a little embarrassing. I tried to do it when my kids and my husband weren't around, but I could see myself, I could feel myself saying, I'll put this here because there's something else that needs to go to that other room. So I'll make a pile, mm-hmm. right? Because obviously I don't have time to do that right now. And I could sort of feel that thought process in my head. And I would say out loud, no, Dana says to take it there now. And so I would say that out loud and I would do it. And then I'd be like, wow, almost no time has passed.
Yeah.
It was like, we joke around here about the time it takes between when we go out our front door and when we actually drive out of the driveway. because with young children, especially, there's like a process of getting into the car and buckling up and all of that. And there have been times in our family life when that took a really long time. So we talk about like the black hole that happens between the front door and when we actually drive out of the driveway. And this was like the reverse black hole. It was like a time blip where I went and did something and no time had passed. And
that is so fascinating.
Over and over, that started to convince me.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. That's great. Well, what's another strategy that's had an impact on your home?
I know everybody says this, but doing the dishes essentially right away or at least every day makes such a difference. And it's actually improved my like enjoyment of our home and reduced my anxiety about other areas where I'm still decluttering, just because I know it doesn't take a long time anymore because the dishes are always essentially caught up. I think it's made me a little bit kinder too, because like when my mother came to visit in the past, she would load the dishwasher right after the meal. And I was all judgmental about it. I was like, why are you doing that? Aren't you here to see your grandkids? Right? So here I am revealing myself as not a very nice person, but you know, I'd be
all completely understand what you're saying though. Because here's the other thing. My experience of that exact same type of situation, it's hard for me to not feel judged. Like, it's hard for me to not feel like, are you doing that because you don't think I'll get to it eventually? Which probably was based in reality. You know, like that was my own experience in those types of situations. Like, I'm going to do that. Like, yeah, no, I get it.
I think there could have been some of that going on too.
Yeah. but now you understand that she had an understanding of if we'll get this done, then we get to go enjoy without it hanging over our head, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She, in addition to spending this extra time loading the dishwasher, she somehow also had all this time to like sit and read to my kids or play card games with them.
Yeah.
So yes, she had an understanding of something that has been a slow process for me to learn, but
yes,
I'm a believer. I'm a believer now.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I get it completely. I talked in a recent podcast about, I still struggle. I don't ever want to do my dishes. I just don't. It is not the most natural thing in the world to me. And yet I am a believer because I know the impact that it has. And so I'm always jealous of the people who are like, oh, I can't not do it anymore. I'm like, well, I can totally not do it. Okay. Yeah. So tell me, what's a situation or question that you have that you want to talk about?
Okay. My kids generate a ton of what I would call pseudo trash.
Okay.
It's like something that they made out of paper or fabric or yarn, and they play with it for an hour to a couple of days, and then it actually becomes trash. But in the meantime, it's like a priceless treasure. So we do have somewhat of a habit of 5-minute pickups, but if we don't do them every day, the pseudo trash accumulates. And I'm like, okay, if it's really important, pick it up, because I'm just going to throw it all away. Do they need like an in progress bin? Or how do we store this stuff that doesn't actually need to be stored for any length of time?
Okay. So when I glanced through your stuff ahead of time and I saw the in progress bin. And my first thought is always, no progress the clutter bins. Okay. But then as you were explaining it, I was thinking, well, it's not really, in my mind, it's not so much an in progress bin. It's a current homemade toys bin. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
To serve the purpose of containing, to serve the purpose of limiting. You know, it's like, this is your, I know how much y'all love to make things. And I'm just going to assume that you love that they love to make things. Like, this is right. Like, this is great. I mean, this is fantastic. We all want our kids to play that way. So it's like, I want to honor the fact, I think it is so cool that y'all do this, but we all know because, you know, things get used up or whatever. So it's like, this is going to be the space that we have for your creations that you're still playing with. Okay. And then that lets it be a limit so that as that fills, it's a natural, oh man, that's right. Well, go through and get rid of some of the ones that you're not playing with anymore so that there's room for these new ones that you've created. And that is just such a non-confrontational way to help them identify which ones are still being played with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I like the language there about this is the container or the limit for your current homemade toys or current self-made. Because we talk a fair amount about things that are treasures and things that are like not treasures anymore, you know. But we all, myself, my husband doesn't have this problem. He's like in some alternate universe where decluttering is like
they're the people that we're jealous of, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but we all struggle with like, well, it was a treasure before and now I have to let go because it's not a treasure anymore. So that language, I'm not super happy with it. But just the idea that this is the place where we put our current homemade toys.
Right. And think of it not so much as a, like you're not necessarily saying to them, this is the limit, this is the container, we've got to contain it. Instead, it's the special place. And then you just let it be what it is because it is a limit. It's like, oh, these don't all fit into our special bin for the stuff that you're currently playing with. And then their memory bin or their treasure bin is a separate thing, right? Yes. Like it's a separate, like, no, you don't play with it anymore, but man, you loved making that. And that is such a huge memory. Does it deserve space in your memory bin, which is something that just sits there and lives, right? Or your keepsake box or whatever you call it. So it's like, it's, this is our homemade toys play box or, you know, whatever you want to call it, the language that works for them. And then just allowing that to be a natural limit to be the one that makes those decisions that things have to go, as opposed to you coming in and saying you have too much, you know, which is the natural thing, right? Because they do have too many that it's not able to be, you know, maintained anymore.
Exactly. And we do talk about, we can't enjoy our things if we have so many, right?
Right.
Or if we have too many, we can't enjoy what we have because we don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, and if it's, if it's a current play thing as part of that 5-minute pickup, if we know this is our current play thing, hopefully eventually that's going to kind of be a natural ongoing decluttering of those things in that we're not just shoving them in there. We're putting them in there as deserving space in this. So they kind of naturally, oh, this one can go now. Oh, this one can go now. You know, like, so that 5-minute pickup reinforces this on a daily basis. If that makes sense.
Daily.
Or almost daily. I know.
Keyword there.
I mean, 5-minute pickups are ideally done daily, but they are useful done at any time. I mean, that to me is one of those keys for people to understand with a 5-minute pickup is you don't have to get every single thing picked up and then start doing 5-minute pickups because that's too overwhelming for people like me. That it's just too much. It's like, but that's my mindset, right? Now with dishes, yeah, you kind of have to do that, but I mean, you don't have to, you could do 5 dishes and you're better off than if you don't do any, you know, but like with the dishes, yes, I recommend that you do the work to get them all done. But with a 5-minute pickup, it really is so key to establish that 5 minutes makes a huge difference. That 5 minutes is what we're really doing here. You can trust me. I am not trying to trick you, my children, or myself into a 3-hour marathon of picking up the house. You know, so it's those 5 minutes are so valuable anytime that you do them. And the more often that you do them, the more that you remember the impact, kind of like the stuff you were talking about before with the awkward pauses. It's like the more often that we do this, the more that I notice, oh, this awkward pause is 5 minutes and I'm feeling anxious about my house. And so let's all do a 5-minute pickup, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And it has taken a while for all of us to trust the process, but we say out loud to each other, 5 minutes matters.
Yes.
And we have a little timer that my kids know how to set that counts down. So it has a red wedge that gets smaller and smaller as the time passes. So we can set it for 15 minutes, or we can set it for 5 minutes, and you can glance over and see, oh, we're almost done. Like, but yeah, the time's almost up, or, oh, well, there's still 4.5 minutes to go. So pick up a few more things.
Yeah. Do you have is that on Amazon?
Yes. I think it's called the Time Timer.
Okay.
I know that's kind of I could go.
Sounds a little redundant, but okay.
I know, exactly.
You didn't name it.
You can get a big one that hangs on the wall. You can get a little one that sits on the countertop. We had a big one before, and now we have a little one because we can carry it around the house. And yeah.
That's really cool.
It's very helpful for kids, I think.
All right. So did I solve that problem completely?
Yes, absolutely. All right. It's good. All going to be golden going forward.
That is such a relief for both of us. I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Y'all know how much I love summer, and summer's coming. I definitely like to get a few new fun summertime pieces. So I really try to follow my one in, one out rule in my closet. I especially love to replace worn out pieces of clothing with high quality pieces that I know I will love for the long haul. On the Quince website, I searched for wide leg pants to have something cool and comfy for summer travel. And I found the perfect navy pair in European linen that were less than $40. That's really the best part. Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they partner directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/clean for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/clean to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/clean. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. It's a little bit scary to send your kids out on their own into the big wide world. As mine head into their next adventures, I definitely think through whether I've prepared them for all the things that are going to come their way. Do they know how to manage money? Do they know how to budget? What about investing for the future? Greenlight can help your children get ready. Their debit card and money app is made for families. With instant money transfers, you can send your kid a recurring allowance to their Greenlight debit card. It truly is so easy to use and customize to fit your family's needs. It's great to have someone else backing up mom and dad when it comes to the money talk. And Greenlight plays that role. Your kids will be able to build financial literacy and independence by learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. The Greenlight app also comes with a game that teaches financial literacy. Level Up helps kids build money confidence through videos, challenges, mini games, and more. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/clean. That's greenlight.com/clean to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/clean. So tell me, what's your next thing you want to talk about?
Okay. I need your permission. Please give me permission.
Okay.
To put some incredibly historic, sentimental family decor away in the attic for a while.
Sure. You got it. Okay, we're done with that.
Okay, great.
Go ahead. You can give me more details.
No, it's okay. If you say it's okay, that's all I need to do. We have 3 dogs. They're indoor dogs. We've got the kids. We all wear our shoes indoors. We live on a essentially a farm, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a pretend farm, but it's still pretty farmy. It's hard enough for me just to keep the house clean with almost no like knickknacks or decorations. But I have things that I really love and value. Things like a couple of ashtrays made of hammered raw copper nuggets from when my grandfather was working as a mining engineer in Africa. Like that's special. I want those and I want to have them out and I want to look at them. But now is not a good season for having them out.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, you can keep anything. You just can't keep everything. Mm-hmm. If your attic has space in it for those kinds of things. So yeah, I mean, like if there's space for it, that's not taking up the space that you need for other periods of your life. And it's something important enough to you that when you get to the stage of life that you feel like you will be able to display it safely, you will actually remember that you have it. Like, you know, there's a difference between really important family memories versus all this cool stuff I found at a garage sale, but I don't have anywhere to put it. So I'm gonna stick it in the attic. You know, like there's a difference there, right? So other thing I would recommend, you know, is look at it differently and see if there's anything that, you know, I can't picture exactly what you're talking about, but is this something that could be on a wall with a plate hanger or, you know, that kind of thing, because it's best, right? The best. Yeah. I mean, like that could very potentially have a small plate hanger that would hang it on the wall. And for me, it's like, I have had to realize I don't do displays on surfaces well. So I totally understand what you're saying. Like it just doesn't work, but I like to have things on the walls. So is there a way that I could make this a wall decoration so that then I could go ahead and enjoy it and appreciate it? And sometimes it, you know, changes how I view it over time when I'm like, okay, I've embraced that. I've used it as a decoration. And then at some point I'm more ready to let it go because I used it instead of it just sitting in a box or whatever. So does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I had that experience with some decorative plates that my mom gave me. I had them hanging up and enjoyed them for a long time and then eventually just felt ready to let them go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That does make sense. And it reminds me of your advice to use things, to not just keep them stored away for some other day. Yeah. There are a lot of, especially in the kitchen, fancy dishware and stuff like that, that we use regularly now instead of saving it for some unknown future reason.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that. So as far as permission goes, you know, it's funny because some people need permission and other people rebel against being told they have permission. It's like, I don't need your permission, whatever. So whatever it takes for you, if it helps you to take my permission, yes. But remember that that permission is based on your reality. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it's based on you saying, I am willing to give attic space to these items because I have it to give, you know, mm-hmm. it's not taking up the space that we need for other things. But yeah, I mean, anytime you can use it, if there's a way to use it, that's ideal, you know? And I love that you've had that experience with those plates that were on the wall, because here's the thing, like it becomes part of your decor aesthetic. And it's almost like we're more willing to allow our aesthetic to change over time and then let things go because of that, as opposed to when we just see it as a memory. You know what I mean? Like when it was just a memory, then I can't possibly let it go because that would be dishonoring them.
Possibly. No, right. Absolutely not. My mother gave me those plates.
Right. But when it's being used and it's part of your decor aesthetic, you're like, oh, those have all this special meaning, blah, blah, blah. But then over time you're like, yeah, I've changed and I want to do a different design now. And I'm ready. You know, so there's just something weird that happens with that.
So using things really helps.
Yeah.
Push them along that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and if you're looking at it that way, sometimes too, it's kind of like the container concept and the take it there now and all that stuff. It's like, okay, I'm going to use this as decor. And then sometimes that will help you take an entire box full of things and you say, okay, these things would look great on the wall. Well, when I'm looking at it this way, those are things that aren't as meaningful, but sometimes when it's a whole box and you know that it has those, you know, special items in it, it's like, well, that's a box full of important stuff. But when you're looking at it as, okay, well, I'm going to use it somehow in my house, then you actually look and you identify what really is important. And you also see, oh yeah, that's not as important. That stuff can go. So all of those things work together. Okay. Solve that problem. All right.
Check.
I am on a roll. No. Okay. Let's see how we do on this last one. Tell me another thing you want to talk about.
Do people in your household eat in their bedrooms or in other parts of the house?
Okay. So I did read briefly through this. I did see that your kids are 6 and 8.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world when they are 16, 19, and 21, right?
Yeah.
So it's an issue. At that age, the answer was no. It's not that I didn't sometimes find humongous piles of candy wrappers in their corner of their closet after Easter or whatever, you know, like, it's not like it never happens, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
But the general rule was no, you know, no eating in your rooms. I was allowed to eat in my room as a kid. I also often was like, what's that smell? And it was a glass of milk that had been there for a really long time, you know, or whatever. So it's just one of those things. It was kind of over my clutter threshold, I think, to allow my kids when they were that age to eat in their rooms. So I don't know. I don't feel like that's very helpful necessarily, but.
Well, you're saying that your kids, now that they're older, they either generally don't spill or leave their dishes there for extended periods of time, or if they do spill something or drip crumbs, they tidy it up themselves.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying that, but. I am saying though that they still don't really, I mean, my daughter does, because she's my routine oriented, you know, and so she has her morning routine and she comes down and she gets a glass of ice water and she gets her a little something to eat. And so, you know, of course that's generally something that's disposable other than the spoon for the yogurt or whatever. And so yes, definitely there are times where it's like, I need my spoons and my glasses back, you know? And, so that's definitely something I still have to be the one to say, okay, let's go do this. We do have like an additional space where, you know, my kids will hang out. And that's one that does drive me absolutely bananas. Cause I'll be like, you have to clean up your own mess in here, you know? So no, I mean, I don't have any other than it's partly, you know, it's my clutter threshold as far as what I can handle, because it does come down to mom reminding. And I'm not saying they're not capable. They are capable and they do much better than they could do, if that makes any sense. Like they do fine. But yeah, I still have to remind and initiate the 5-minute pickups. And generally that becomes part of a 5-minute pickup is go get anything that, you know, is in that space and get that, you know, picked up. So.
Okay. Well, it's helpful to think of it in that way. And also helpful to realize that, I guess, even for you, you're still initiating the tidying up of that.
Yeah. I mean, here's the bad news about life, as far as I don't give parenting advice at all, but it's just reality. Like, I want it to be where I never have to, I can say things one time or whatever, and I don't have to worry about it again. And that does become the case on a whole lot of things, but it is not on everything. And it is most definitely not on this kind of stuff. And sometimes I think it's probably because this is also the same kind of stuff I struggle with. You know, maybe it's because they know that I'm not going to notice it immediately. I'm not going to walk into a room because of how my brain works and be like, what happened in here? So it's like, well, they can get away with it for a while. So I don't know. I don't want to make them look bad, because I mean, I really feel like this is what a lot of teenage parents would tell you, whether they themselves struggle with this stuff or not, is just, it's just reality. Like I remember when I wrote Teaching Kids to Clean, when my kids were probably, I don't know, they were probably 10 and under, you know, and I had somebody email me and say, I taught all this to my kids when they were younger. And it's like, they forgot all of it when they were teenagers. And I was like, well, I mean, I didn't say this, but I was thinking, well, that won't happen to my kids. Well, it does. I mean, It just does. I mean, I was wrong, you know, she was right. And I don't know, it kind of reminds me of my mom would always tell the story about every birthday I had as a kid. I was always super naughty after that birthday because, I mean, she figured out it was because I was like retesting. Okay, well, I'm now older and more mature. Do I still have to follow this, 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 and this rule? And so it was like, you know, it, and I don't know that it's a conscious thing at all, but you know, with every phase of life, even myself, I'm like, wait, I still have to do that even though I'm almost 50. I'm like, what? It's like, yeah. Oh, okay. Do I, you know, it's that realization. So anyway, so bad news, good news, definitely you're not alone. Definitely. This is a struggle that pretty much everybody has with a teenager. And it's just a thing to remind. But as far as like eating, you know, making rules to eat within the house. Yes. I mean, to, you know, within common spaces, you know, that definitely helps to not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of the things you're saying are making me realize that my kids know that I don't go into their rooms very often because their bedrooms are upstairs and their dad puts them to bed. Like he's the one who does the toothbrushing mm-hmm. and the bedtime story and all of that stuff. Cause I'm momming all day. I'm like, okay, supper's over, bedtime's come, off you go, see you tomorrow. So they, and because we've been so over my clutter threshold in general, and I started in the kitchen and I'm working my way out on the ground floor, they know that I'm not really in their bedrooms very much. And it may be a kind of a way of seeing what they can, what the boundaries are, what they can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think there's, you know, a sneakiness necessarily other than I do think it's just so, well, this is how it is. She doesn't notice in here. So it's okay. yes. And I think that's natural and normal for kids, you know, to be that way. So yeah, I think it's that taking, you know, and sometimes with, you know, our additional areas that it drives me crazy because I don't necessarily go out there. And then when I do, I'm like, you know, I try to keep it to, or I try to encourage more, you know, if you're going to eat out there, it needs to be this kind of stuff, you know, like mm-hmm. this type of stuff that is easier to clean up or more disposable based or whatever that you can just throw it away, you know, that kind of thing to try to.
Yeah.
Keep that
We haven't had like a cup of milk go upstairs and then get spilled or anything like that. It's been
like I did as a child, like my mother had to deal with.
I feel for the lady. I feel for her.
Don't we all, right? She's the one who laughs every day that I talk about this stuff for a living.
Talk about her chickens coming home to roost or something like that.
Right. Oh my goodness. Talk about a life of irony for sure.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cool. Okay. Well, I don't feel like that was very helpful other than just to let you know you're not alone.
So. Well, I also have the feeling like I should say it once and it should stick, right? So it always, anytime someone reminds me that it doesn't work that way, that's helpful. And I can recognize that my kids are really good at clearing the dining table because they clear their own dishes the vast majority of the time without being reminded.
That's great.
So I do think that as I get the ground floor to a stable situation where it's easy to maintain, then I'll be spending more time upstairs We have like a balcony that overlooks our playing and dining area.
Oh, wow.
And mm-hmm. then a bathroom between the two kids' bedrooms. And right now it's sort of their domain. And as I say, I don't go up there much, but I'll be going up there more regularly as I declutter that area more yeah. and spend more time up there with them.
Well, and I just want to remind you that it's a gift that you're giving your kids for them to be able to watch you learning, you know, kind of like you said, I want to say something one time and it'd be over. And it's like, and I feel the same way, obviously we all do as moms. And yet when I look at myself and I realize how long it takes me to really start grasping something and taking it in and understanding, okay, this is how I do it. And also these are all the results of it. And those results help encourage me to do it. You know, like all of those things that they're watching you learn and all that they're learning as they are participating in 5-minute pickups, and they're learning, oh, wow, it's more fun to deal with this stuff when it's in a special bin. And then when I'm not overwhelmed with all this other stuff, like all of those things are teaching them, because in the end, no matter what you teach them, they then have to make it their own. Like it, that's just reality, right? So it's just a gift. Like you working on this is a huge, huge gift that you're giving your kids. So good job, Mom.
Thanks for saying it.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And I'm thinking back to like myself a year ago and how I would leave a load of laundry unfolded for a long time because I didn't want to take the time to do the whole thing. And I want to contrast that. And I'm thinking about my kids because they help me with the laundry. They help fold and put away. But nowadays I'll be like, hey, let's just spend a few minutes and like get all the socks out of here or whatever. And we get that pile of laundry put away a lot faster, even though I don't spend a solid, whatever it is, half an hour, 40 minutes folding it.
And they just to be clear, change. It takes like less than 10 minutes to fold a load of laundry. But anyway.
Okay. Maybe like 3 loads all piled together on the kitchen counter. 4 loads.
You know, I had to say that, but anyway, go back to your really wonderful, thoughtful thing that you're going to say.
No, I was just saying my kids have seen that change, right? Yeah. They've seen that change from like me ignoring something for an extended period of time because I was overwhelmed to me saying, hey, let's just do a little bit on this for now. And I've tried to on purpose do that for them as well. We have a bearded dragon. Of course, I didn't even think of that in the long list of animals. And he like spills his vegetables. And because there's a heat lamp in there, they like shrivel up and dry. It's not a big cleanup task, but his area needs to be like swept up pretty frequently. And technically he's my 8-year-olds. And so I was like, you got to clean up Draco's place. You got to clean up. And I could tell she was overwhelmed. And so one day I said, look, just like take the little dustpan and do one little dustpan worth. And that's it for today, right? Even that little bit will help them. And we did that for a few days in a row. And then she did it on her own for another few days. And again, that's showing how I've changed and being explicit with my kids about that so they can see that example. And then this my daughter put it to use herself. So that was very good.
Yeah, I love it. That's so great. That's so great to hear. And it's so encouraging. So encouraging. Well, this has been really fun. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to put a plug in for people who, like I see on the Facebook group, they're having trouble figuring out what a room is for. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that sometimes it takes time. Mm-hmm. Again, this is something like myself a couple of years ago had a really hard time grasping this concept, but we've lived in our house for 4.5 years. And only in the last 6 months or so have we really totally achieved clarity on 2 of our main living spaces. One that is a guest room and for certain kinds of projects. And the other is like a TV room with some other functionality that happens in there. So for anyone out there who's listening, sometimes it takes time, but the only way that the use of that room is revealed is by decluttering the extra and decluttering and decluttering. And once we got down to like the stuff that was still there after the decluttering, peeling off the layers of the onion several times, then things became clear.
Hallelujah. Amen. For real. Like, I mean, the defining the room is so key, but if you can't do it, just start decluttering, just start getting stuff out. And then, you know, like there's really no reason ever to not start, you know, like, because the starting is the key. And it's like, there's really not anything to figure out before you get started, even if starting just means looking for trash and there is no trash, you know, but that's still starting, right? Is looking for trash. And so that starting is everything. Well, this has been really, really fun. Tell me what you love about being a Kindred Spirit.
I love the Facebook group. It's very encouraging to look on the Facebook group and see the posts that are like, I tackled this huge project and now it's so much better. And that I really like. A lot of people comment that it took less time than they expected, and that's a helpful reminder. It's just a really comforting feeling to know that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And that we're all working, you know, to make our houses to be beautiful and comfortable living situations, and that there are a bunch of us out there.
Yes. Nobody is striving for an unrealistic goal. This is a place where you're never going to make progress. And people go, oh, but you still should this, this, and this. It's like, we're going to celebrate the progress and then we're going to keep on going and we're going to keep on going. But our whole goal is to accept reality of our spaces and our clutter thresholds and all that. So
I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
It also helps for someone like myself who doesn't have a good example in other family members. Everyone else in my family has a much higher clutter threshold. And they maintain houses that are very beautiful, very filled with beautiful things. I could never hope to come close to doing that. And so I can't look to my family members to say, that's what I'm striving for, right? That's just not in the cards for me. That's not realistic for me. And that's, again, looking at the photos that people put on the Facebook group of the other Kindred Spirits, that reminds me it's okay to have a house that has less stuff in it, but that is well maintained and enjoyable and beautiful.
Right. Love it. That's great. Well, this has been really fun. And I really appreciate you being willing to share. Okay. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I hope you learned some things. I always have so much fun talking to my Kindred Spirits. If you want to know more about being a member of the Kindred Spirits, go to patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. All right. I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.